Well, hello everyone, and again I greet you in the name of my Lord and my Savior, Jesus Christ. This is Minor Hawk, your voice of the gospel speaker, and I thank God today for this opportunity and privilege I have of speaking well concerning the person of God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, He was the one who came from heaven. He was born of the virgin called Mary. He lived a sinless life while here on earth, but I thank God that nearly 2,000 years ago, He hung on the old rugged cross. He was the just one dying for you and I the unjust so that He might bring us back to God. And friend, I thank God too for extending the day of grace so that we might have this blessed privilege and opportunity to tell forth the wonderful story of redeeming love. How that Christ loved us unto death, even the shameful and ignominious death of Calvary's cross. Let's open up the program today with a lovely tune, and it's entitled Man of Sorrows. One sure do thank God today that the man of sorrows has brought much joy to me. Yes, I have joy unspeakable and full of glory because of what the man of sorrows, Jesus Christ, had to do at Calvary's cross. Yes, He bare my sin in His own body on the tree. And you too, my friend, if you're unsaved listening in today, you too can have joy within your own heart and soul. Joy and hope and happiness and peace the world can't possibly give you if you'll only trust Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. Let us ask God's blessing on the broadcast. Our gracious God and our Father in heaven, We bow our hearts in thy presence today to thank thee again for the Lord Jesus Christ, the man of sorrows, the one our God who suffered, bled, and died for us at Calvary's cross, the one who had that cry, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And why art thou so far from helping me in the words of my roaring?" That he could answer his own words with these words, "Thou art holy, thou couldst not look upon sin, and here was thy beloved Son, he who knew no sin, being made sin for us, so that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Father, we thank thee for the cross work of Jesus Christ, and those of us who are saved today, we rest where God rests, in the finished work of his Son, Jesus Christ, at Calvary. And our God, we would pray thy blessing upon thy word about to be read and spoken from today. May it please thee to bear thine arm in the salvation of souls. We'll be careful to give thee all the thanksgiving and praise, for we ask it in his name. Amen. Now before we open the Bible today with the message that God has laid upon my heart, let's listen to a song that has a question to it. What will it be to dwell above?
What will it be to dwell above and with the Lord of glory reign, since the blessed knowledge of his love so brightens all this dreary plain? No heart can sing, no tongue can tell what joy it will be with Christ to dwell. No heart can sing, no tongue can tell what joy it will be with Christ to dwell. When sin no more obstructs the sight, and flesh and sense deceive no more, when we shall see the breath of life and all his works of grace explore, what height and depth of love divine will there through endless ages shine. What height and depth of love divine will there through endless ages shine. God has fixed the happy day when the last tear shall dim our eyes, when he will wipe these tears away and fill our hearts with glad surprise. To
those of you who have your Bibles handy and would care to follow me, I'll be reading one text, one verse of Scripture as we find it in the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 45. Isaiah's prophecy, chapter 45 and verse 22. God is speaking and he says, "Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. Let me repeat the scripture. This is Isaiah 45 and verse 22. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. And the Lord will add his blessing to the public reading of his word. Well, friends, today I'd like to speak to you regarding our scripture text, Isaiah 45 and verse 22. And as I do so, I trust that every unredeemed sinner listening in will give heed to the Word of God. Yes, give heed to the Word of God. This text is so simple that even a young child could be saved by accepting the truth expressed in this scripture verse. You know, sometimes we preachers of the gospel are so zealous to see souls saved that we unwittingly give the impression that it's difficult for a sinner to be saved. Yes, would that we could speak with the simplicity displayed by the Lord Jesus Christ. And anyone who has studied the utterances of God's Son has surely noticed the many, many times he used words of one syllable. Friend, he spoke simply because he wanted his message to be understood by all. He was only passing this way once, and he sought to make his word so simple and clear that even a child could grasp the message. And I trust with God's help today, I'll be able to show every unsaved sinner listening in how they too can be saved or born again by means of simple, childlike faith. Now, if I'm not mistaken, this text, Isaiah 45 and verse 22, was used by the Holy Spirit of God to point the great evangelist, Charles Spurgeon, to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm quite confident that the Holy Spirit of God is still in the world today, seeking to bring both conviction and conversion to the hearts and souls of sinners. Now, friends, the first thing I want you to notice about this text, Isaiah 45 and verse 22, is the expression, look. God says, look. Now, what could be simpler than that? And what could require less exertion than a look? Yes, assuming we have adequate vision, the easiest thing to do is to look. It's something we do thousands of times each day, and we never give one thought to the fact that our entire day is spent looking here or there or everywhere. And friend, it's nice to notice that God uses the simple expression look as a basis for salvation. He said, look, look unto me and be ye saved. Now this brings to my mind that incident recorded back in the book of Numbers chapter 21 when the Israelites, after they escaped their bondage down in Egypt, were murmuring against God and God's man Moses while they were going through the wilderness. You recall how discouraged they were and how they were complaining to Moses about their condition. And what happened? Well, God sent fiery serpents amongst the people and many of the people died. Then when they saw the result of their murmuring, they appealed to Moses and he in turn asked God to have mercy upon them. It was then that God told Moses to hang a brazen serpent upon a pole. And in verse 8 of Numbers chapter 21, we read that whosoever looked at the serpent on the pole was immediately made whole. My, what a simple remedy for sin. They had rebelled against the holy God, and yet where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And so it is with a sinner today. You too, my friend, are in rebellion to God. You've been bitten by the serpent called sin, and the wages of your sin is both physical and spiritual death. But friend, God has provided the remedy for your sin too. Yes, you too can be healed of that dreaded disease called sin. And if you'll but look to the Lamb of God and see Him, the Lord Jesus Christ, with your eyes of faith, dying in your guilty room and in your stead, you too can be healed of that dread disease sin. See Him bearing away your sin in His own body on the tree. Friend, listen. The Lord Jesus Christ was lifted up too, just like the brazen serpent in Numbers chapter 21. In fact, over in John chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, He told the religious Pharisee named Nicodemus, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. Again, we hear the Lord Jesus Christ say over in John chapter 12 and verse 32, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Sinner friend, salvation and eternal life can be yours today if you'll but look by faith to Calvary's cross. Look and see the just one dying for you, the unjust. Look and see the one who knew no sin being made sin for you. Look and see the man of sorrows hanging on a cross made from a tree which he himself had created. Yes, look and see the visage that was so marred more than any man, and that form more than the sons of men. Sinner friend, look by faith and see that precious blood flowing down from his head, his hands, his feet, his back, his side. And friend, as you look to Calvary today, I trust you'll see with the eyes of faith God the Father dealing with God the Son because of sin, your sin. Oh, how I thank God today for the time in my own life when I got a glimpse of the Lord Jesus Christ hanging on the old rugged cross and suffering the righteous wrath of an angry God because of my sin. We sometimes sing in our gospel meetings, "There is life in a look at the crucified one. There is life at this moment for thee. So look, sinner, look unto him and be saved, unto him who was nailed to the tree." Oh, friend, if you refuse to look at Lord Jesus Christ today, you may never have another opportunity to do so. No, the day of God's grace is quickly drawing to a close. And if you reject him as your Savior today, you may die in your sins, and your chance for salvation will have ceased to exist. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2 we read, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Now the next thing we notice about our text for today is the object of that look. God says, "Look, look unto me." You notice he didn't say, "Look to the church." No, my friend, he didn't say to look to religion to save you. He didn't say either to look to the preacher or priest to save you either. He didn't say look to education or culture or morals or good works to save you. Ah, no, my friend, salvation is of the Lord. In Isaiah 43 and verse 11, God says, I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. And friend, there is absolutely no salvation for the soul apart from faith in God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He tells us in John 14 and 6, "I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." In John chapter 10 and verse 9, he declares, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved." No, my friend, you'll never be saved apart from trusting God's Son as your Savior. The Apostle Peter reiterates this fact in Acts 4 and verse 12 when he says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved." So that's it, friend. If you're depending upon anything apart from the blood of Jesus Christ to take you to heaven, then you are being deluded. In Titus 3 and 5 we read that it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to God's mercy he saves us. And furthermore, it's only the mercy and the love and the grace of God which has permitted you to hear the gospel today. And the reason is expressed in 2 Peter 3 and 9, where we read that God is long-suffering, very patient, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Friend, the Lord Jesus Christ himself tells us over in John chapter 6 and verse 44, "No man can come to me except the Father which sent me draw him." Now then, let's take a look at the next phrase of our text, Isaiah 45 and verse 22, and God declares, "Look unto me and be ye saved." Friends, here we have a glorious certainty because God himself gives the promise that if you do look by faith to Jesus Christ, you shall be saved. No question about it. Now, he didn't say you'll be saved if you try to keep the Ten Commandments or join a church or are baptized. Ah, no. Friend, there are millions of souls down in hell today, and they're crying for the water they were baptized in. Friend, salvation is by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, plus nothing. Plus nothing. In Acts 16 and verse 30, the Philippian jailer asked the question of Paul and Silas, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And friend, the answer he got then, nearly 2,000 years ago, is just as valid today. He was told to believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Now this belief is not an intellectual belief, but it is a heartfelt conviction regarding the truth of God's Word. And this conviction can only be brought about by the Holy Spirit of God. Over in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, we're told that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart, not the head, but with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Friend, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. The God of all creation promises to give eternal life to those who will trust his Son, Jesus Christ, as their own and personal Savior. Now, there are many sincere people today who rebel against the plain teaching of the Word of God. Yes, even though God, who has never lied and who cannot lie, repeatedly declares that he gives the sinner eternal life, nevertheless, many people don't believe that he means what he says. They say that he only gives temporary life, not eternal life. In other words, they believe that if a Christian backslides, he loses the eternal life and has to be saved all over again. Listen, friends. The Lord Jesus Christ said in John 3:7 that ye must be born again, period. He didn't say that ye must be born again, and again, and again, and again. Ah, no, my friend. Listen, you and I were born once into our parents' family. And if we're children of God, we were born once into God's family too. After all, if a person is saved and becomes a child of God, how can they become unborn? Either you're a child of God or you're not a child of God. And I can't find one verse in the Bible which, when taken in proper context, tells me that I can be saved today and lost tomorrow. No, my friend, once saved, if saved, always saved. You know, I've actually met people who were afraid to accept the Lord Jesus Christ because they were sure that they could never live a perfect life. Sinner friend, listen. Contrary to what you may believe or have heard, every born-again Christian in the world today will sin today in word, thought, or deed. No, there is no such thing as sinless perfection this side of heaven. In 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, we read these words written to Christians. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Yes, and thank God for the throne of grace to which every Christian can go and confess his or her sins. And friends, that's the position of the Lord Jesus Christ today as he sits at the right hand of his Father God. He is our great high priest. He's our advocate. Yes, the only mediator and intercessor we have between us and God is the man in the glory, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, don't get the idea that salvation is a license to sin. That's blaspheme, because a truly born-again Christian will not have the desire to sin. He'll want to live a holy and dedicated life as a testimony for God. But we still have the old nature within us, and it'll be there till we leave this scene of sin and sorrow. And we go home to be with and like our Lord Jesus Christ forever. And I can say like John of old on the Isle of Patmos, even so come, Lord Jesus. Well, friends, time doesn't permit further discussion of our text. But the last phrase is very important, too. God says, look unto me and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth. Yes, salvation is for everyone, everywhere, who will acknowledge and repent of their sin and come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. Sinner friend, it doesn't make any difference today whether you're Catholic, Protestant, or Jew, whether you're old or young, rich or poor, white, red, yellow, or black. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth from all sin. Yes, the Lord Jesus Christ tells us in John 3:16 that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Friend, if the Holy Spirit of God, through God's Word, is speaking to you today, please don't resist the Holy Spirit of God. In Proverbs 29:1, we read, he that being often reproved or warned, hardeneth his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Well, what more can I say? God's Word is so clear. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Friend, right now, whoever you are and wherever you may be, look by faith to Calvary's cross. There see the Lord Jesus Christ dying in your guilty room and in your stead. See that blood without which there can be no remission for sin. Friend, my trust is even today that you'll get that fresh glimpse of Calvary and you'll see the one who loved you unto death. even the death of the cross. Yes, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior. And friend, if you do, according to God who cannot lie, you'll be saved for time. And thank God you'll be saved for all eternity. And remember, my friend, this is for eternity. Yes, this is for eternity. Let us pray. Our God and our Father, we again bow in Thy presence today to thank Thee for Thy Son. We thank Thee for His condescending grace that took Him all the way to Calvary. We thank Thee for His precious blood that cleanseth from sin. And Father, we claim Thy promise today that Thy word shall not return void. May there be some sinners out in Radio Land today, some man, woman, boy, or girl, looking by faith to Calvary and beholding Thy salvation in the person of Thy Son. Save souls, for we ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, friends, this concludes another Voice of the Gospel broadcast. If I can be of any further help in pointing you as a sinner to the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, well, believe me, I'll be only too happy to do so. Address all letters of inquiry and other correspondence to the Voice of the Gospel, Post Office Box Number 6, McKeesport, Pennsylvania. And that zip code is 15134. That address again, the Voice of the Gospel, Post Office Box Number 6, McKeesport, Pennsylvania. And McKeesport is spelled capital M-C, capital K-E-E-S-P-O-R-T, Pennsylvania, zip code 15134. And now onto our next broadcast, Lord willing. This is your Voice of the Gospel speaker, Minor Hawk, wishing you and yours God's very richest blessing, which is salvation through faith in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Good day.